Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
Father, thank you. Thank you. What a privilege to open your word. And what a privilege that you take the foolish things of this world and the weak things and the things that no one wants, the us's. I mean, I'm an old lady, Father. What am I doing up here? And yet, Lord, you have chosen the weak and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And you've purposely selected us as your people. And you've gathered us together and brought us together. And you've called us your church, your family, your body, your temple. So today, Father, it is an honor to stand before your daughters. And I humbly ask, Father, that you would allow that ministry of teaching and revelation knowledge to come to us as we open your word, that you would open our hearts to the amazing truths that are in chapter 15. And we thank you and we give you praise. And we pray in the name of our King and our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is a little handout. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. When you got born again, you got translated out of the kingdom of darkness. I say this every time. This is my message. So it's like, this is nothing new. Most of you have heard this for years. Like, oh God, here we go again. But anyway, we get translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And that is in Colossians chapter 1. And so that means that even though I'm on earth and I'm in this natural world, I am in a new kingdom, and I have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. I was in an old kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. Jesus called him the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, a liar from the beginning. He was not tempted. He was not deceived. Iniquity was found in Satan, and he is the originator of evil. And there is a plethora, there is an army of angelic beings that went with Satan and rebelled against God. And earth, you know the story of Adam and Eve. We don't have to go there. But there was two trees in the garden. There was a tree of life, and there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, when he created Adam and breathed the breath of life into Adam, he said, you can eat of every tree in this garden, but you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because from the time that you eat of it, you will surely die. And we see that word death. Now, I just want to say right here, we're going to look at death in chapter 15. And I would so glibly say, as a pastor of this church, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Until I lost Jim. And I've been on a whole new journey, and I met death. And I'm changed. I'm not the same Debbie Cobray that I was. And in the fellowship of suffering and the power of that narrow road that we travel on this earth of broken things, God teaches us things that we would never learn any other way. He's not here for our comfort. He's here for our transformation. He's changing us from glory to glory. He's not removed us from the earth. And he's not removed us from pain and brokenness. He has given us his almighty grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Grace, God's power in me to do what his truth will demand of me. He's given me grace to walk through the difficulty. And it's a wilderness, but he will be with us every step of the way. And I'm a living testimony to tell you, as a widow of now 2 years, I'm going on my third year. I'm in my third year, 1 month. Came to church this morning, cried all the way here. I missed you. I'll miss him until heaven. And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm not where I was 2 years ago. And God has walked with me every step of the way. God has held my hand like a toddler, and he won't let me run off. He has cared about the details of my life that I have not even known about. He has covered me in stores when I've left groceries or left things that I bought, and I went back, and it was all waiting for me. Little things, big things. He loves us. He cares about us. And some of you that are here that are widows, or you're single, or you're divorced, or whatever your status is, and you live alone, I want you to know that you have a lover of your soul, and you go to bed, and yes, we go to bed alone, but we don't. And we wake up, and yes, we wake up alone, but we don't, because God is with you, and He has angels around you, and He's keeping you, and He's securing you, and you don't have to be afraid of the terror of that flies by night. What our precious woman said, what our precious Adia, is it Adia? Akia, I'm so sorry. Akia said, it was such a beautiful psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty God. He is hovering and He is with us. He has assigned angelic beings to surround you with aid and assistance. When we were driving on that freeway or that highway of 900 miles Tuesday, we prayed for traveling mercies. God had angels around us. There were accidents all around us, but we didn't fear because we knew God was with us. God is with us, girls. God is with us. And if you don't have a covering, a husband, then He is your covering. And if you have no one to love, He's teaching me how to have a love affair with Him that's brand new that I've never had before. And I don't know how to love Him, but I'm learning how to love Him in a whole new way. And it's the most exciting thing in my life right now. So I'm here to encourage you that no matter what stage you are in life, God is with us. God loves us, and God's got a plan for our lives. And look, the girls have told me, and Nicole and Jess and everybody else, because I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. They said, Mom, you're still breathing. Stop it. You're here. So I'm learning, like you. This is learned. We don't just get born again and boom, we're changed. Every season of life, there are new things to learn. We never arrive. I have not arrived. I feel more like a toddler and a child than I ever have before. I'm in a whole new realm of faith. So I want to encourage you with that. So when we look at this, we look at chapter 15, it's a phenomenal chapter because Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and we're going to get back to this, so don't put this away. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's answering questions. I mean, they're a mess. They're wealthy. They're materialistic. They're pagans that are now Christians. They're Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. And if you're Gentile, you didn't know about the law. You didn't know about God. You didn't know anything. You had temples everywhere, and you had all kinds of religions, all kinds of demons, all kinds of things that you worshiped. That was normal for you. That would be a normal, normal life in Corinth. So it's kind of like us. We don't have temples, but we have sports. We have entertainment, we have pleasure, we have sex, you name it. Nothing's changed. Solomon said nothing's new under the sun. It really hasn't. Those demons are still there. Those principalities are still ruling. All right? He's the God of this world. Now, but there's a time coming, not yet, when everything's going to change, and that's what this chapter's about. Okay? So if you have this on your, and you have something to write with, if you don't, borrow a pen. I want you to just take a blank piece of paper, flip it over, and I want you on the white piece of it, it's one blank sheet, right? Just draw a little line. Make it about an inch long in the middle of that piece of paper. Just a line. That's all. Just a line. What I want to tell you is, the blank piece of paper is God. The line is time. God made time. He put us in time. God is the God of eternity. We do not have a frame of reference for eternity because we are creatures of time. We go to bed, we get up. We have a 24-hour day. We have the sun, we have the moon, we have the stars. We have the seasons. He put us in time. And where we get messed up and we draw swords over the word of God is because we live in time and He's in eternity and we can't figure it out. Is that all right? So that's why I said there's a now and there's a not yet. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we look at it today, we're going to start with the major question. And the major question that he is answering in 1 Corinthians 15 with Pastor Sue and Pastor Nicole have covered is the resurrection. He's defending and he's telling them there is a resurrection, because what's happened in Corinth is he's hearing all of these reports from Chloe and from others that have reported back to him about the church that he began. And he began that church in Acts chapter 18. You can read about the beginning of it, Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth. And Paul is in Ephesus when he's writing this, and he's answering them, and he's talking to them, and he's saying, what, there's no resurrection? Are you kidding me? If there's no resurrection, we of all people are to be pitied. Because if there's no resurrection, then you have no faith, and you have no hope, and you are dead in your sins, and we are liars, and Christ is not God, and this thing is a joke. So he says, but there is a resurrection. This is this for us. And he begins to explain and he begins to talk. And like I said, I don't want to go back to that because Pastor Sue's already taught that during Easter. But the question is, in chapter 15, verse 12, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And that's what we're dealing with. All right? He's dealing with the resurrection through this entire chapter. That's why it's a panorama. From beginning to end, we're going to see this. But there's a hope. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19, he says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Man, feel sorry for us, because if we're Christians and there's no hope in another life, forget it. Who wants to live this way? We are living a lie. But the plan, he said, but wait a minute. There is a plan. Because God had a plan before the foundations of this earth, before an angel ever flung off of his finger. He already had the plan of redemption. And he knew that we would fall. He knew that we would be a fallen race. He knew that Satan would be on this planet, that he would tempt mankind, that he would tempt the father of all humanity and the mother, Adam and Eve. And that's real. It's real. This isn't a story. This is real. And that they would sin. And when they sinned, there would be something called death. And death, as I have so glibly taught it for so many years until Jim died. Death is separation. You're separated. And boy, is it ever. Boy, is it ever separation. And we died spiritually when Adam and Eve sinned. They instantly had their eyes opened. They knew that they were naked. And they absolutely knew, and they hid from the presence of God. And God, walking in that garden, said, where are you? He knew where they were, and then it all starts. But they had been separated and stripped of what they wore, and they were hooked up. Adam and Eve were joined to the Godhead. They were getting what was good and what was right and what God wanted directly from God. There was unbroken communication, unbroken fellowship, unbroken life. That's why they didn't die. They were in the presence of eternity and God. You and I cannot right now be in the presence of God physically. We would be incinerated. Our bodies, this mortality, cannot be in eternity this way because of who we are and because what's happened. But that's now, but there's a not yet. And we'll look at that, our bodies, what's going to happen, the not yet. But right now, he's defending this and he's talking about it. And God had this plan. And I'm going to ask you to write these three words down. I say them all the time, but write down redeemed, R-E-D-E-E-M-E-D, redeemed. I might have spelled that wrong. And next to redeemed, put back a slash, bought, B-O-U-G-T. T-H. I'm not going to try to spell because I could have that wrong. Bought. It was it right? Bought. B-O-U-G-T-H. Okay, good. Thank you. Just, you know, 75. Going to be 76. Just kind of not spelling these words too much anymore. Bought back. Redeemed. Means you buy something back. All right? Reconciled. Next R. Reconciled. R-E-C-O-N-C-I-L-E-D, reconciled, English, whatever the Spanish is, write it down. My beautiful Spanish girls. It means to bring back. The last one, redeemed, reconciled, restored. It means to give back. All right? The plan of God in three R's. Redeemed. He had to buy us back to get us out of death and sin. For him to buy us back next to redeemed, bought back, put identity. He had to become the last Adam to do that. He had to come legally into the human race because he was going to bring a new race that had never been. He was going to do something that had never been created. It's called the new creation. That's why we have to be born again. He had to do that, and the only way he could legally do that, because God is holy, which means he is absolute in all that he is. He's never less than who he is. He never runs out of being what he is. He's never less creative. He's never less righteous. He's never less just. He's never less anything. He stands alone in his holiness. He is the creator. All life emanates from him. Heaven and earth, visible and invisible, emanate from him. And because he is who he is, he had to reconcile and he had to deal with a broken law. If you sin, you die. If you eat from that tree, you're going to be separated from me. That's it, because he said it and that was his law. Are you with me? And Satan knew that. That's why he tempted Adam and Eve. So he comes and he has to come to buy us back first. And to do that, he has to become the last Adam. That means he has to be born in the human race. Now, he never stopped being God. Here's where by childlike faith I believe this, because I don't get God. And neither do you, and don't tell me you do, because we are not capable of it. Unless the Holy Spirit teaches us, we don't have the frame of reference. All we can do is look at his creation. And because he never stopped being the second person of the Trinity, God, the Word made flesh. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That is why from Genesis to Revelation, Abraham was the father of Israel, the 12 tribes, and from the 12 tribes came the law, and from the law came this nation, and out of this nation was going to be one born called Messiah, Christos, the anointed one that would come and save and come and bring and come and redeem back man, come and reconcile back man to the Father because we were separated because of sin and death, and come and restore all things, because that's what this is about. He is in a restoration program right now that is far greater than you and I can imagine. And it's not just earth, it's heaven and earth, visible and invisible. So this thing is big. It's big. And for some reason, in his plan, he's taken me, this little woman, now old, widowed, diminished, and he has allowed me to be a part of this restoration plan on planet Earth as his body, his people, his bride, his temple, and his church. And he's included you as the body of Christ into this plan of restoration. Redemption and reconciliation. Oh, come on, girls. We have no idea how massive and how privileged we are to stand before the King of Glory. And I come before the King, and as I was weeping this morning, driving to the rock, because sometimes it's just hard to be here because memories flood my soul. And I hadn't been here in a week. And I'm talking to the Lord, and I came, and I was just in the Spirit, and I saw myself, daughter of Almighty God, daughter. It doesn't matter how old I am, what I look like, what race I'm from. I am a human being born of the Spirit of God, woman made woman on the earth. And I'm a daughter of the King. And when I come to the King, he listens and he opens his courtroom and he says, come, child, what is it you need? And he welcomes us because we've been not just bought back, but we've been reconciled. We've been brought back. How? Right next to it, substitution. The plan. He had to be a man. He had to be born a human being to be the last Adam. He's all God. He's all man. You never stop being God. But now he was going to go and do something. He was going to a cross. He was going to take on the sin of the world as the last Adam. And that penalty, that death penalty, that separation from God was going to be on him so that you and I could be reconciled back to the Father. So that came by substitution. He became the Lamb. And the last star, which is the rest of this chapter, is restoration. Now he's giving us back. He has a long-term plan, now and not yet. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom's all around me. The kingdom's in me. I am in the kingdom of God right now. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I have been reconciled to the Father, where before I was separated by sin and death, and I could only work my way through the law. Now I have been anointed and born again, and the Spirit of the living God is indwelling me, and I'm his temple. I'm his daughter, and I can hear him, and I have fellowship with him, and I'm never alone, and I can understand his word. That's why we don't have to be smart to understand this. We just need the Holy Spirit to give us the frame of reference and the imagination so that we can come in and understand the things that are foolishness to this world. But it's not foolishness. It's the most incredible plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration that humanity and the heavens will ever hear or live. And we get to be a part of the story. You know, I got to be married to Jim Cobray for 45 years. I was with him 46 years, married 45. That was an amazing man. He could be a pain in you-know-what. And I could be a pain in his you-know-what. And we'd have fights at staff meeting. I was called Shut Up Debbie. I thought my first name was Shut Up and my last name was Debbie. Because I never quite learned how to shut up. So it was Shut Up Debbie. Ask the staff. It was Shut Up Debbie. Every staff meeting, Shut Up Debbie. You're interrupting me. But I love that man. And he loved me. Ooh. He took me on the biggest adventure of life. He loved me. And I loved him. We had an epic love story. We wrote a love story. Oh, yeah, we fought like cats and dogs. But we also learned how to make up. I got to be Jim Cobray's wife. I got to spend my life with him. And he got to be Debbie Cobray's husband. And he got to spend all his days with me. So it works both ways, girls. It's not just the men are so much greater than us. No, no, no. You're the gift. A good wife is a gift from the Lord, and those who find her find the favor of God. So you're a gift. You're a daughter. But not everybody got to be married to Jim Cobray, just me. Well, he married quite a few people before me, but, you know, we worked all that out. What am I saying? I'm saying you get to be a part of this incredible adventure of being born again into the kingdom of God. And your God and your Father and your Savior and the lover of your soul, you get to write an epic adventure for every day that you get to live on the earth. And if we can just switch perspectives and start to see this, maybe it'll help us. It's helping me because I've been in a house of mourning for 2 years. I don't want to stay there. I want to live again. I don't know how, but I want to. And so this is a learning process. So don't beat yourselves up. But this is a learning process. So he came to redeem us, buy us back, reconcile us, bring us back through substitution. He had to be the Lamb. And to restore us back, help transformation. It is the word that transforms us. So 1 Corinthians, let's look at the, now go to me, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at verse 21. And here's the verses that Nicole tackled, and she did a great job. I love you, Nicole. You're so precious. For since by man came death, so now he's defending the resurrection. Of course there's a resurrection. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first fruit. What does that mean? He's the firstborn from the dead. He came as a human being, and when he died and was resurrected, he's the firstborn or the first fruit from the dead. What does that mean? It means as he is on this earth, now I'm being transformed into that image. That's a now, but the not yet. I'm going to have a body, and I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to look like him, and that's a not yet. And we'll get to that next time. Is that all right? So there's a now and a not yet. So verse 21. For since by man, speaking of Adam, came death, separation, by man, capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead. Remember, we're going back to the resurrection. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. There's not one person in here that's not going to die. Every one of us is going to die. We don't do a very good job of it in the church. I don't think we understand grief, and I don't, you know, I think we do the best we could. I know I did, but I'm, like I said, I'm not the same person. And I said some pretty stupid things trying to comfort people. It wasn't a comfort. My friend Sherry Reeve is a pastor, and she lost her husband 5 years ago. She went to a grief counselor, and the grief counselor taught her to say, well, that's not helpful. I thought, God, I just love to say that when somebody's trying to comfort me. Well, that's not helpful. Sorry, I'm just trying to comfort you. I don't know what to say. Because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. It's so awkward. But we're all going to die. And this is what this is all about. So in Adam, all die, but each one, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ, it is coming. So that's the now and the not yet. All right? There's a not yet coming. Listen, I had to face Jim's death. That's a now. I haven't gotten into the not yet yet. All right? The order of God. There is a now and there is a not yet. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 to 28. Let's go. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. Afterward, those who are Christ, it is coming. God's a God of order. Here it is laid out right here. Key right here. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. Afterward, the not yet. Those who are Christ at his coming. There's a time coming when the dead in Christ are going to be rising. And we'll go over this in another lesson in the next 3 weeks. Is that all right? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I know you have questions. Let's go to verse 24. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things that are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, what is in the world did he just say? Now, when all things are made subject to him, speaking of God, then the Son, speaking of Jesus himself, will also be subject to him, speaking of God, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Let's read that in the New Living. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. He's coming back. After that, the end will come when he will return the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scripture says, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, When all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. I didn't put this out, and I should have, but I didn't. But I want you, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. This is what the Lord taught me so many years ago about the kingdom of God, that there is a reconciliation, redemption, and a restoration program going on far greater than earth. And in Ephesians chapter 1, first chapter, I want to read from verses 10, 9, and 10. Paul writes to the Ephesus church, and he says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, because this is a mystery, it's hidden, but it's hidden to be revealed, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ. Here it is, both which are in the heavens and which are on the earth in him. God is putting all things back together. There's a massive restoration program going on because original sin didn't happen on earth, it happened in heaven. Are you with me? Go with me to Colossians if you have your Bibles. Here's the companion scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, speaking of Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. And by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. What is God saying? He's saying that there was a rebellion. There was something that shook heaven. God knew it was going to happen before he ever created Satan. He created him. He knew. None of this is a surprise to him. That's why when those astronauts went up in Artemis and they looked at the earth and they came back, one of them wasn't saved, came back saved, said, there is a God. I can't be out there and see the blackness and see the blue marble and understand that this is not an accident. This didn't just squeak out of nothing. This is here in the midst of all death and darkness and space. This is God. And this blue marble that he put us on, this planet that he put us on, which in Romans chapter 1 tells us is our school, because everything he created on this planet speaks of the Godhead. So everything's talking to us, from moths to butterflies to creation to seas to wind to fire to everything on this planet. If you're listening, it has a voice and it's shouting out, it's God, it's the Godhead. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. I've made you. I've put you here. I love you, and I'm going to show how much I love you, because you don't know me. I'm going to die for you and take on the penalty of what you've fallen into and were born into. This love is so great, and so I can't even fathom it. I can't even fathom it. But I'm trying. God, I want to grow. I feel like a child. I want to learn. I want to learn how to love you. I want to love you like you love me. Is that even possible? But this God that made us, this incredible God, is in this restoration program, and he's restoring all things visible, which is corporeal. What is corporeal? Material. Einstein taught us that the material world is made up of time, space, and substance. Time, space, and substance. That's why I had you draw time. It's just a dot on a sea of God. God's not in time. God's not controlled by time. God made time. We're in time. And God invaded our time through the womb of a virgin and became the Passover lamb for us and went to that cross for us. And now Paul is showing them, what, you say there's no resurrection? Are you kidding me? God laid his life down, and God picked his life up, and he took the keys of death and hell, and he's a conqueror, and there's victory in all of this. Because God is restoring all things to himself, visible and invisible. He's restoring heaven and he's restoring earth. There's going to be a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. And that's going to be what our bodies are going to be for. So let's go on. The problem, the church was challenged on the truth of the resurrection, no faith or life. The hope, he is resurrected and he will be too. The plan, redeeming, reconciling, restoring all things back to the Father. How? Earthside, through the church's body. You're it now. So am I. We're part of this reconciliation and restoration plan. All right? We're part of it. Just like I got to be part of Jim Cobray's life, I get to be part of Jesus Christ's life. I'm his body on the earth. And when I understand that there's this kingdom, there's this incredible kingdom. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. There are laws in these kingdoms. There's an economy in these kingdoms. There's a treasury and a wealth in these kingdoms. And if you will begin to understand the kingdom of God and the king that you love and serve and loves you, and you begin to operate in the laws and the economy and the culture of the kingdom of God, and understand you're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, by which we were enslaved, then we begin to win. We begin to operate and move and function in a faith that we didn't have before. We begin to see things we couldn't see or understand before. When you watch the news, you begin to understand beneath the news and the commentaries and the foolishness of mankind, because every man, every system on earth is broken because man is broken. Everyone. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. It's foolish. We'll vote what's most godly, please, what's most godly. But they're all broken. Communism is broken. Islam is a doctrine of demons. It's broken. It's a lie. There's only one truth. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. God made the heavens and the earth. God did this for us. And God is showing us, listen, I've taken you out of this kingdom of darkness. And now I've brought you into my kingdom. And now you got to learn how to operate in it. And I'm in a restoration program here. And I'm restoring all things. And you're part of it on the earth. In your time that I allow you to live on this earth, you're writing your story for eternity. Does that make sense? So let's talk about death. First death was separation from our physical bodies. When we died, when Adam died, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually, right? He was separated. It took him 900 and some odd years to die, to go back to the dust, and they buried him in the dust. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 9:27. How much time do I have? Oh, I'm out of time. And as it appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment, so you're not coming back. And if you have friends that think you're coming back, pray for them. They need to get saved because it's a doctrine of demons. All right? There's no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die after that judgment. That's it. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. This is why he had to go to the cross. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. He's coming again, apart from sin, for salvation. Revelation 20, 5 through 6. The New King James Version says, now we're going into Revelation. Are you all right with that? So we're talking about two kingdoms here. We're talking about, there's a kingdom. It's a restoration program. He's buying us back, redeeming us. He's reconciling us back. He's bringing us back to the Father. That's why he said, pray to the Father in my name. You couldn't even talk to the Father. Now you have open access to him. And he's restoring all things back. But the rest of the dead, now this is during the millennial reign. This is after Revelation has, keys. Just write this down if you're writing it down. Revelation has seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls of God's wrath. Seven, seven, seven. The seventh seal, when Jesus starts breaking the seals off, opens the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet, there is a last trumpet. The seventh trumpet opens the seven bowls of God's wrath. When those seven bowls are poured out on the earth, not much is left. Humanity is pretty much gone. Then Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and Messiah's kingdom comes. It's called the millennial reign of 1,000 years. That's where this is in chapter 20, the millennial reign. Okay? So that's where we're at. It's talking about death. Revelation 20. Are you all right with me? Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan's been bound. Chapter 19, he's bound and he's cast into prison. He cannot tempt mankind. So the millennial reign is what the earth would look like if Messiah had reigned and Adam had never sinned. All right? It's Messiah's kingdom. Men and women are going to populate the earth. They're going to live a very long time, back to 1,000 years. Back to, if a child dies at 100, it'll be a child, it'll be a baby. A man will be as a tree. Okay? So this says this. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. The four corners are Gog and Magog. To gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Then they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, because Jerusalem is rebuilt. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan is destroyed. That's why he is no big deal. God's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth. He only can deceive you. He operates, his kingdom operates in fear. Satan's, God's kingdom operates in faith. What moves the visible from the invisible? It's his economic system. If I'm going to get anything out of the kingdom of God, the just shall live by faith. If I'm going to stay in the kingdom of darkness and go back where I was, I'm going to operate in a spirit of fear continually, because that's Satan's economy. Can you see the difference? And so the second death, let me go on, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. God. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. Everything's being written down. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here's the key. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We die, we're born dead. My spirit is separated from God when I'm born. I have a sin nature. The first Adam, the last Adam came as a life-giving spirit. And when I say yes to him, and when I believe him, when I believe he is the Son of God, and I'm born again, I am made alive, and I'm rejoined to my Father. I'm bought back. I'm brought back, and now I'm being restored back. Does that make sense to you? This is the born-again experience, a new creation, never been before. He came to create what had never been. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that if we understand this restoration process, that from Genesis to Revelation, God is reconciling everything, visible and invisible, back to himself. Because God will be all and in all. There will be no more evil. There will be no more Satan. There will be no more rebellion. There will be no more lying. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sin. There will be God who is all and in all, and his kingdom will reign forever and ever. And this is a massive restoration project, visible and invisible. You're going to judge angels, but you're not going to judge the angels that didn't fall. They don't need judgment. They are holy before the Lord, and they are ministering spirits sent to help us. We'd worship them if we could see them. John tried to worship them in the book of Revelation. That's why the earth is cloaked. That's why it's veiled. That's why we see dimly through a mirror. Because the only one we are stoosy and to know and to love and to learn is Jesus Christ. on that Mount of Transfiguration when he became who he was, and the disciples saw him as Almighty God, and they were stunned, and they fell back in terror, and they wanted to build a tent for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah were gone, and there was the Shekinah glory of God and the power of God, and a cloud went over them, and they were crushed down to the earth, and God's voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him only." It's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He's our King and our God. We listen to him. We don't enamor ourselves with flesh or with angels or spirits. It is God. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who made everything. All things were made by him and for him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And he holds all things together by the word of his power. And when he had, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, by himself, cleansed us of our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And now there is a not yet. Now we are on the earth. Now we see that there is spiritual death, which we're born into. There is physical death, which we are separated from. And there is spiritual death, which you cannot change if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If I have not said yes to Jesus, will I still breathe air? I don't care. I've been in hospitals with people in comas. The Spirit of God said to me, speak to them. Tell them to cry out in their spirit to God. I don't know the extent of the mercy of God. It's not my, I'm not in that, I don't have that pay grade. I don't know. It's God that knows the heart, not me. But I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I asked everybody to leave the room, and I bent over that soul, and I said, I know you're unconscious, but I know you can hear me. You're between heaven and hell. You know the Lord. You've sinned, yes, but you can cry out to God. And I did what the Lord told me to do. It's God's business what happened after that. I'm telling you, this is bigger than we know. This is greater than we can imagine, and it's bigger than you can even, and I can even have a frame of reference for. He's reconciling heaven and earth, visible and invisible, angels and demons and principalities and powers, and he's doing it on earth through the church, his body. That's why Paul said, no resurrection? Are you kidding me? No resurrection? Do you know who he is? Do you know who you are? Do you know what's happening? It's big. Reconciling all things back to himself, that God may be all and in all. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So I'm done. I just want to tell you three things today. God, are you all right? Did I scream at you and yell at you? I'm so sorry, God. Will you forgive me? I wish I didn't do that. God, I'm an old lady. I should be calmed down. God, I'm so sorry. So what's my part? Just today. Nothing else today. Today, there's a reconciliation, restoration, and redemption project going on. God's restoring heaven and earth, everything, visible and invisible. It's big. All right, you're part of it. Tag, you're it. You're the body on the earth. So it's his body. You're the Jesus that people are going to see and hear. I'm it. It's like, oh, God, are you sure? Do you think this through? Really, have you thought this through? Three things. Number one, change my perspective. Let God's word transform me. God's word is spirit and life. That's why this is so important. That's why church is so important. It's the pillar and ground of truth on the earth. That's why in the corporate anointing, faith comes. Faith rises in the heart because we're collectively one body together. And if you can believe for me, if I have a prayer requested and I've got four girls at the table and they can believe with me and we go to the Father, listen, you've got a team now of faith. It's important. This is very important because you live in a world that is muddied and broken and absolutely gone crazy. Can I get an amen on that? Change your perspective. Become who you are now. He's redeemed you. He's reconciling you. He's restoring you. I want to read you this verse, Isaiah 66, 1 through 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Your dad doesn't get bigger than that, okay? He's just, your dad is the head honcho, okay? He is, all right? So just don't go all crazy. Don't get all that, you know, but it humbles us because we're loved. Where is the house you'll build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one I will look. He who is poor and of a contrite spirit, that's humble. And he who trembles at my word. And I said, Lord, when's the last time I trembled at your word? When's the last time I trembled? I'm trying so hard not to have a spirit of fear. I'm not trembling. I've got faith. I'm alone. I've never been alone. So God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a swords up, shields up. I'm here, God. So, oh, God, will you just calm down? When's the last time, Lord, I trembled at your word? It's so important to me not to take you for granted, or take your word for granted. I've got a ways to go, let me tell you, a long ways to go. So this verse is for me. Change my perspective. This one, number two. Walk humbly with God. Humble. That's what I said in here. Humility, dependence on God. Pride is independent, selfish desires. On this little thing, it says humility is dependence on God. Pride is rebellion against God. When Satan said, I'll be like God apart from God, Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14 is the fall of Satan, if you want to read it for yourselves. He said, I'll have what God has apart from God. That's pride. Independent, self-centered desires. I'll do it my way. I'm still doing life that way. I still have so much pride in me. It's like an onion. You know your heart? You kind of got to get it peeled and it makes you cry and it stinks. But God's faithful and he's just and he's patient with me. He's patient with you. So be patient. Let's be patient with each other. Walk humbly. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I need his grace. And humility, dependence on God brings his grace. And I'm here to tell you, I've lived it for the last 2 years. God's grace has been on me as I've been so needy and so broken and so brokenhearted. That I was desperate. God, if you don't live with me, how am I going to live? This cup of sorrow is too great. And he'd take that cup and he'd empty it and he'd bring it back to me. And he'd say, here, come live another day with me. That's how beautiful he is. That's how beautiful he is. And so for those of you that have lost loved ones or are grieving over other things, divorce or relationships, there's so much to grieve over. He loves you. He wants to help you through that wilderness that you're going to have to walk through. Number three, overcome evil with good. And this is what I taught my kids when they were just little enough to start learning. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And the definitions are very clear and they're very simple. Good. It's a God word. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good is, definition, God's will, God's way, that will always bring beauty, benefit, and blessing. God's good. Evil is Satan's way. It's a perversion of that which is good. It will always bring, death, destruction, and deception. Deception, destruction, and death come with evil. Satan's kingdom. Deception brings destruction, which brings death. And that last death, that second death, that eternal separation, if your names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going into what God never meant for you to go into, which is Gehenna, hell, which was made for Satan and his angels and not you. That's why he came for you. So 1 Corinthians 15, there is a resurrection. Without it, we're nothing, but with it, everything changes. We're taken out of darkness. We're brought into this amazing kingdom that is being completely transformed and reconfigured. And there's a time coming when, and let me read this to you. Let me read just Isaiah 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an axe. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Not yet, but soon. Now we've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom. He's reconciling all things. He's restoring all things. He has a not yet, but it's coming soon. And the next two lessons, Paul's going to talk about now what? Did you get something out of today? Listen, I know that was a lot, and I huffed and puffed and screamed, so thank you for being so patient. I just want to ask just quickly, because you're going to your tables, you have another 10 minutes. Can just have heads bowed, eyes closed. If your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you've not said yes to Jesus Christ, if you were to die today, you're not sure where you'd go, heaven or hell, I want to give you an opportunity today to change destinies. That's why you're here. So if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ and you want to make him Lord and Savior of your life, I'm just going to ask you just right now, just at your table, just slip up your hand. I'll see it. Nobody else does. Let me just see if there's anybody here that wants to make Jesus Lord of their lives this morning. Okay. I see one hand. I know there's more of you. I know there's more precious girls. You're thinking, will anybody see? No, it's just between you and God. We're just going to pray. You've heard the gospel this morning. Let's pray. God listens to your heart. This isn't a magic prayer. This is just you and Jesus, so let's all pray it together. I want you to say, Father, here I am. I'm asking you to forgive my sins. I'm asking you to save me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. I believe that he died for me, and I believe that you raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you, Father. I can now say, I am born again. Help me to live the rest of my days learning to love you and to serve you while there's breath in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.